This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Everyone intrinsically knows that like spontaneous sex is good. It's just that, you know, there comes a time where life is so crazy, it has to be kind of robotic.
You said, I hope one day I can heal in you the part of you that gets hurt and looks for all the other ways in which you've been wronged.
Yeah.
As soon as I enter into a state of vulnerability, I'm almost like searching for other ways, you know, in which I've been harmed. And then you end up feeling like you're having to audition for me or reprove that you're a good guy again.
Yeah.
I have let go of the idea that we have to grow. You know, is that a bad thing right now, given where we're at in our life, where how old our kids are? Ooh, I have jealousy on here as a challenge.
Okay, jealousy. Yeah, I'm bringing up your, you're just gonna sit inside, you're just gonna end it on jealousy?
Welcome back. And I say that in a strange way because we have been rolling along together, but something that I've learned about my life is that the summers, I'm here, but I'm not really here. It's a fascinating thing to go through now as a parent because you observed it before of like, why does the world kind of seem to slow down during this time? And now I'm in it. And there's joyful parts of that.
You believe it's magic.
And then there are some deeply challenging parts of that as so many of your usual routines and responsibilities get left by the wayside. It can leave people feeling disconnected, scattered, and a little unsure of the future.
I don't feel like us as a partnership, as a unit, really get time. We don't even sleep in the same bed anymore. And so there is a disconnect that you naturally start to feel. And sometimes you get to a place where like, is there something wrong with me? Does she still love me? Is she still interested in me? Is she still about this? Like, because we don't have that connection that we naturally would get where we're laying with each other or we're talking or we're going out. And so that leads to like insecurities in our relationship.
So something that I have been learning is extremely important during these times of reconnect, but just really important in general, are the ideas of check-ins. And check-ins are neutral conversations that happen periodically, pre-scheduled, that allow you to ask, hey, how are things going? What's been happening? What's been working? What can we improve on? What are you excited about? What's done really, really well from you? What are you doing? How are you doing? And the importance of these being things that are just premeditated, one, so a structure that's thought out in advance, and two, pre-scheduled, is that these are not in reaction to something in particular that happened. And furthermore, they're not something where one person is coming to the table with an idea of a bunch of things they want to unload and the other person's just waiting for the shoe to drop. Instead, it's an invitation for us to talk about what we love, which is hopefully our love. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about our love. In the comments section, please find a check-in outline for us. I would love to get feedback from you on how things have been going for you and what do you want more of going forward. In addition, I'm going to be having a conversation with my husband, Jared Brady, because yes, after summer, we tend to go through a rough patch.
You think it's going to be contentious?
I think it's been a hard week.
Yeah.
We've just naturally, I think, been getting on each other's nerves, but that's because we have limited time, lots to do, no help. It's easy, you know, mistakes are made in these kinds of environments, and it's easy to get frustrated. I've been frustrated at myself too. So you're like an extension of me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I don't like the whole phrase of don't take it personal. Because what we do is intrinsically personal.
And this year was no exception. And then lastly, I'm going to be checking in with my lovers community, a space which I began this year. And I kind of wanted to know Is it doing what I hoped it would be doing? Is it missing the mark? And I got some pretty humbling, inspiring responses there. Hopefully this episode inspires you to have similar conversations with your loved ones. And if you want a resource that allows you to structure these kinds of check-ins, please go to loversbyshan.com, hit that resource section, and you can find something there.
Where's your notepad? You said you were gonna fake it.
This is in 2025. And we have something in our actual phones that's called notes that you can take notes into. Isn't that crazy?
There's some psychological reason why putting pen to paper is more meaningful, and it's also visually cooler.
I thought
we agreed upon that.
We did, until I thought about it and I was like, dang, we're not, you know, riding horse and carriage anymore. We have cars. So why not use the car? And this is my car. Okay. So no, 2025, we're in the future, baby.
Yeah. We were going to talk about three wins, three challenges, something green. It could be a part of your wins and challenges if you'd like, that you want more of, something red that you hope discontinues, and something yellow that maybe you think the intention is good, but you'd like to tweak it a little bit so the impact is more in line with what your needs are. Then we're going to talk about lightning round, feelings on co-financing, co-working, co-parenting, co-committing, copulating, and then coexisting. Then we're going to have a section for questions for each other. If there's any questions that you have built up over time or any questions that have come up throughout this. And then lastly, we're going to talk about next quarter, laying out 3 to 5 priorities for the end of 2025. And then we can also address 3 commitments we want to make to each other.
So my 3 wins are, I think that we found a better routine with our work and like family life. Like we have a pretty structured, we know what each day is going to happen. I feel like before it was kind of just a run-on sentence. Whereas now it feels like we've really figured out a balance between work and then when we're not working. The second thing is I believe that we entered into new levels of uncomfortable conversations. And we managed to go through that without any, like, there were small explosions, but no like real damage to our relationship and our love. And then the third thing is that I have been able, and this is more of a personal thing that I think adds to our relationship. I feel like I've found fulfillment in my creative endeavors that I didn't have in the past that allows me to show up more confident, more secure, and, you know, I think more invested, or not invested, but more present in our relationship.
Those are great. I have questions, but I'm wondering if I should save them.
Well, this is a podcast, so we should be able to ask questions.
Well, okay, can you give me an example of a way that you feel like we've gone to a new level of uncomfortability together?
Well, I think last week, you know, I think that we've entered realms in our relationship that we haven't before.
Okay, can we talk about this for community only? Like, are you willing to talk about it? We don't have to.
Let's talk.
You can lead it.
Okay.
And share as much as little as you want.
Here's what I can say. We can talk about it. Can I watch it after?
Of course.
And then let's discuss.
But it will be community only.
I don't know.
Just so you know. Okay.
I don't know who's a...
You can know. We actually know by a first name basis exactly who was in the community. First and last name. I have their picture. I know those people. So I actually can tell you.
There's a certain group that I just don't want to know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Understood.
What are your 3?
All right. So I have friendship. I feel like we've become closer friends, which is interesting because...
I kind of disagree to an extent, but go ahead.
Why?
Because I actually will see later in this like document, I have in there something that I want that is in the yellow zone. Is I want us to.
Are you going to foreshadow to what's going to come ahead?
No, well, that's what I'm trying not to do. But
okay,
I'll save it.
Yes,
go ahead.
Where I say go with friendship is because
up until actually the episode with Miranda, I've been saying, like, hey, me and Jared don't really have the same sense of humor, but I don't require that from my husband and my life partner. Like, I'll kiki and laugh with my sister. But I feel like immediately I said that, and then after that, you've just been cracking me up. Like, I've just...
Keep going.
Yeah, you've just been cracking me up. I've just been, like, liking your humor. I've just felt... Like, not only can I come to you with all the things that I come to you for, which is guidance, support, mentorship, a shoulder to cry on, a safe space, but I can come to you for the sillies, too. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's what I mean by friendship.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
I feel like we've gotten... I have business balance, which is exactly what you were saying.
Yeah.
Just kind of a more acute awareness. I think even in general, like, I've let go of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like the weekends, I literally put my computer away.
Yeah.
I don't even have it open of like, maybe I'll find time. I just have like let that go. And I feel like both of us have kind of just gotten to a very clear space. And I also think the business balance comes in when it comes to finally, and we'll talk about this in depth, but finally making good on the intention for you to have time for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, shout out to Yancy.
Yeah.
That's a dream that's only been possible by having another capable individual
yeah.
who can manage the business. And we've also been less successful this year. So that's been helpful.
That's not Yancy's fault.
That's not. We've been less successful this year, so we have less projects. But it's like that, we were talking about this the other night, that I'm like, is that a bad thing? You know,
yeah.
Is that a bad thing right now, given where we're at in our life, where how old our kids are, net, like, and I have let go of the idea that we have to grow. Like, there was a time where every year we made more money or we had more growth and, you know, we were thinking of moving houses and expanding or building a sauna, building this, and we don't necessarily have the liquid cash that we used to.
Yeah.
And my parents were talking to me about that, like, oh, like, you don't really carry the balance. We carry half of the balance that we used to carry annually.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of overflow. But I'm like, is that bad? I mean, it's not good, but it hasn't necessarily been bad. So I think that's contributed to the balance.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, there is a time in, I think, everybody's life where you're going through, the only time you feel good and green is when you're upgrading and growing financially. That's just how we've been taught from when you're 20 years old to present time. But I think there comes a time where, like, what are the things that I actually care about and can I provide those things?
Yes.
And we can. And so even though that we're less successful, we're more fulfilled in our actual reality life. So that's why I think it's okay.
Yeah, I love that. The last thing I have is sex life.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel that way, but I feel like...
Yeah, I wrote... So I have something in our sex life that I wrote because you have to hold a
in green
list.
Or yellow or red?
No, in copulating. First of all, who puts copulating in there? Why don't you just put sex life?
Because I had it was alliteration, co-financing, co-parenting, copulation.
I've never heard someone use that in a sentence.
Well, it was, the whole theme was CO, okay?
Yeah,
that's why I had
it.
To have co-committing.
I see it.
But I have sex life because, like, yeah, I feel like, maybe it's also too, like, we're kind of, our kids are 3 and 4 now. Those past 4 years were a little bit of survival sex,
yeah,
maintenance sex, and discovery, like, who am I? How do I feel? How do we do this with children in the house? Like, how do we, like, and sleep deprivation. There's a million different new factors. So it's not that we haven't had a good sex life, but I feel like now it feels like...
More organic. Yeah.
Yeah, more fun, more novel, more new. And, like, something that I don't have to think about, like the gym.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we really should.
The love and hate of the gym.
Yeah, like, I love it. And I love, when I'm at the gym, I'm like, I'm happy I'm here. But every day I'm like, do I gotta go to the gym? Like, I don't feel that anymore. I think that even, like, last year I did a podcast interview. And I was talking about responsive versus spontaneous desire.
Mm.
In which majority of long-term couples really only experience responsive desire. Which essentially means you don't feel horny until you're actually into the act.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. There's a mourning that comes because obviously the honeymoon phase is all about spontaneous desire. And I was kind of just like siding with that. And then I feel like this is the year that like spontaneous desire really came back. And there's been some amazing experiences. And now I'm like very pro, like, you keep that spontaneous desire thing going.
Yeah.
It matters.
Everyone intrinsically knows that like spontaneous sex is good. It's just that, you know, there comes a time where life is so crazy, it has to be kind of robotic. You know, it's unfortunate, but seasons.
Seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my three challenges right now are navigating new parenting hurdles around discipline. I mean, I think we're doing good, and I think that we're doing the best we can, but there is something that I can't shake that is, I don't know if it's inside of me, I don't know if it's like instinct, but I feel like I have to be more disciplinary. And it's not necessarily like you're doing it wrong or you're not disciplining our kids enough or anything like that, but I do feel a responsibility to shape the little things that are going to make our daughter's lives harder as they get older. So that is a challenge for me right now, and it's been on my heart. And then the second thing that I have, something that came to mind was like disagreements during work hours. And I don't really know how to fix that. I don't have a solution. I don't have any opinion on it, but I know that it is a challenge. And then the third challenge for me right now is finding times, and this might be just a me thing, but finding times that we can do things together without kids. I feel like that is a challenge in given the age of our kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with all the things you said, and the conflict during work hours. Like, we had that conflict last week, and I remember I said to you, we have a choice right now. You can't be my romantic partner because I just don't want that from you right now, but you can be my coworker. Do you want that job or not? And I'm like, do you think that that's a positive way of being able to quickly manage those conflicts, or negative? Would you rather us, if those moments happen, take a moment from working to be romantic partners, repair, and then return to co-working?
I think for me, because I definitely don't like that sentence, for sure. I don't like that sentence because I'm both, and I can't not be both because I am. And so it just feels like I'm shutting off a side of me that you can't have access to. And it just doesn't feel like we're moving forward through the argument. It feels like we're kind of stagnant. Maybe it's space for a second. Maybe it's a walk really fast around the block. What do you think?
I think the walk is a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think we take a walk sometimes when we're like trying to figure out a work problem.
Mm.
Like if you and me are like, oh, there's kind of a work conflict, like let's walk so we can talk through it.
Yeah.
So maybe we can spare to do that if there's like sort of a romantic disconnect. And what I mean by what we're saying by romantic disconnects, it's times when we're working together where somebody says something that offends the other person. And maybe it wouldn't offend you as a coworker, but it offends you as a lover.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Or you have more sensitivities to it because you're like, why are you talking to me like that? Or why did you take that tone? Or I think that's a good one. So I have challenges as parenting / people, which I'm kind of in
Wait, explain it a little bit more.
I don't know where I sit with this, but sometimes I feel like it's possible to be myself around the girls, and sometimes I think it's just not. Sometimes I think it's not healthy to want to be yourself around your kids, and sometimes I think that it is. So there are just I know for sure that I get to be myself when I'm not with them. Like, I know for sure. Like, even it's some small stuff. Like, you could be doing something with them, like Play-Doh. You don't even get to play Play-Doh the way that you would want, because they're going to be like,
no,
don't do this, use this color, give me that roller. And as soon as you get into it, they squish it. So you're like, okay, well, like, I can't try to find enjoyment here. I have to like put my enjoyment to the side.
Yeah.
And I can't try to, you know, play my music or include my interests. Like, it's almost better if I just accept We're watching Demon Hunters, doing what you want, doing whatever it is that you like. I'm molding my personality to fit what you require. Sometimes what you require is a more stern version of me that I don't necessarily even want to be that person. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, I'm kind of forced to be what you need. And so I feel like what's really beautiful about what we have is we co-parent together a lot. So I struggle with this too, because I value it, that when the kids are home, often we are with them together. But I'm also like, well, when did Jared and Chan get a chance just to be themselves alone?
I think that we have a really clear work schedule, but we don't really have a family schedule and we don't have an individual schedule. We're usually on figuring it out in the moment, which is not bad, but I think us really hunkering down on what's our life schedule like.
Yeah.
And then we'll be able to clearly see when, oh, there's slots for Shan time, there's slots for Jared time, there's slots for daddy and daughter time, and there's slots for mommy and daughter time. So I think really we just got to figure out our life schedule.
Yeah, I think it would be nice to start implementing one-on-one time with each kid. Mm. Like Rai gets an outing, Zai gets an outing, but just you or just me. Mm-hmm. Or times where you take both of them. And like I noted this last week when you were traveling in the morning. I was flying out at 1 p.m. Yancy, I think, was not in that day and Sonia wasn't in. And so I was home alone from like drop off till like 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was like,
forgot what that felt like.
And I just kind of remember even too, like, I don't know, just the kind of space to do one, to do nothing, or two, to do something that doesn't even turn out to be anything. Another challenge I think I outlined is taking versus making moments. And that's kind of to your date night point. Like, it's not always easy for us to make moments together. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Tuesday, like, let's go mini putting and then we'll go to a jazz bar. Like, we've been traveling together twice in the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like there were times we could have like made a moment.
Yeah.
Even though it's in between things and it's not like a genuine date, it might be at an airport lounge. It might be in an Uber or like somewhere that's not necessarily like inherently romantic. But if that's all we have, you know, I'd kind of love for us to be more intentional about, okay, let's actually try to like make a moment for us right now.
I think it's important. And I, like I said, I think our solution to a lot of those things is the schedule.
I have jealousy on here as a challenge.
Okay. That's it? It's a hard stop?
Well, because this is where I have to check in with you on what you're comfortable saying.
Pardon the interruption, but I had to tell you about the incredible sponsor of this episode, me. I mean, why not, right? It is my podcast. And on that note, did you know that Lovers is so much more than a podcast? It's a deluxe suite of services designed to help you reach your intimate potential. Now, there's tons of free tools. For example, Shai.
Yup, I trained in AI on the past 20 years of my work. So if you have a quick question and want to know how I've answered this in the past, go to the homepage. Then there's the newsletter, weekly letters from my lovers you can sign up for. And last but not least, there's my resource library of free quizzes and worksheets. Now, if you like these but want more, come a little closer. Introducing the premium paid experience inside the Lovers community. Connect with like minds, book one-on-one time with me, join one of my weekly classes, and of course, be a part of the podcast. The Lovers community is $20 a month for members and free for muses, because yes, I created a free preview space so you can learn more before committing. Now, I know I threw a lot at you just now, so let's keep it simple. All you have to know is go to loversbyshan.com to get everything you need and nothing more. Again, that's loversbyshan.com.
It's a hard stop.
Well, because this is where I have to check in with you on what you're comfortable saying.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Okay, jealousy. Yeah, I'm bringing up your... You're just gonna sit in the side. You're just gonna end it on jealousy.
Well, because you know what I'm referring to, so it just depends on you.
Um,
The rest of this section is in the community. For all my other lovers, let's move into the green, red, yellow section.
All right, so I'll say my green, like something that I feel is new, that I love, is our bedtime routine. I know that, I mean, and this is the funny thing of like routine being such a turn on and a positive part of our lives, but you know, I think for a long time too, like I've always prioritized going to bed at the same time. And that's been annoying for you at points.
Yeah.
And now I feel like you'll be the one who's like, hey, it's bedtime.
Yeah.
Like, let's go to bed.
I'm tired.
But I also think that comes from too, when you're finally getting work hours to work on you,
yeah,
you don't feel like I have to play catch up at the end of the day.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You feel like you can actually afford rest.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is a huge component of it. The only reason I would want to stay up, it would be because I knew that I would be able to really just work. And so me getting a lot of time to work on myself has allowed it to be like, no, my day's done. And I'm ready to like lay down and connect with my wife. So it doesn't feel like I'm missing anything.
Yeah. Like I sometimes feel bad about saying this. It's my favorite part of the day. You know? And I even like yesterday, you know, I was telling the girls for some reason about like, well, you know, my love for your dad was first. And they're like, what about me?
Yeah.
But do you love me? And yeah. I'm like, yes, I love you. But like my love for your dad and moments where I get to just like bask in the love that we have are just going to hit different because I don't know if that's bad or good. I also know that like my parents are now in the home that we grew up in by themselves. And it's just the two of them. And so I hope that they love each other more than they loved Lauren and I.
Yeah.
I hope that they love being husband and wife more than they loved being parents to small kids.
Yeah.
Because that is the consistent through line. So I feel bad sometimes about how much I can't wait to get to that part of the day. And all of it, you know what I mean? Like, it's part of the sex, it's part of our ritual of rubbing, it's watching stuff together, it's debriefing our day, like,
yeah,
all of it. I just, like, love it so much.
Yeah, no, it's a good time. It's a good time, and then until you hear, like, a bump in the night, and you're like, oh, is that right, you?
And that comes at, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
That's why I'm already asleep by that point.
Yeah.
And then you're pretending to be asleep, so.
I'm not pretending. I'm really knocked out.
Okay.
Yeah, and I do it the same. When you're not here and it's just me, and they come up, they have to, like, push me around. I'm like, you can lay right there. I'm asleep.
Yeah.
So you can lay right next to me. I think that my green right now is, and this is something new, and it was an aha that I had with us going to the pirate show. I feel like I want more of those types of experiences with the girls.
Wow.
I want to go to things. I want to go to Legoland, or I want to, you know, take them and you know, road trip somewhere, or, you know, go to an amusement park. Or because when I think about my childhood, some of my favorite memories was that, you know, my dad was a Disneyland dad, so there was that like when he came around, I knew we were going to do something fun. I want to do those things with Ryan's eye. Like I feel like I'm better for them in doing that than going to the park. Yeah,
that's so interesting. That's I appreciate that insight, because I'm trying to now assess if I didn't enjoy that day or I felt that you didn't enjoy it, so I didn't like it as much.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was kind of fine. I'm, like I said, like I've kind of come to peace with the fact that like I'm not trying to fight to be myself or have fun around the kids. Like I literally am just like a vessel for whatever they require during the hours that we have set aside for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm also, I think we're very good about being like our whole life isn't revolving around the kids. We, you know, have very strict work hours, and we have no shame about sending them to daycare and aftercare. But when I'm with them, I'm like, this is what I'm doing. So I like value to hear that you valued it, because I know sometimes like we were just like in that golf area.
Yeah, didn't like that part.
Yeah, because I don't mind those.
Yeah.
Or in the parking lot afterwards when they were playing on the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm here for them, whatever. And then I felt like you didn't like it. So I was like, oh, maybe this experience was just like overall too much. So
no, it's not if we're going off the specifics of that, I wouldn't go back to that thing. But I'm talking about more of those types of things. Going out, going to something that is an experience for them.
You know what that also kind of goes back to, too? Kind of finding those, like, parenting versus people moment of being, like, in that moment where I'm, like, I'm going to let them just play Spider-Man on these parking lot bars, and you're just so annoyed. Like, you could just go to the car and be on your phone. Like, I'm not going to hold that against you. I know that I have park patience and you don't.
Yeah.
I could be at the park all day.
Yeah.
Just put my AirPod in. I really don't. Whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have park patience. So, like, you don't have to feel like you have to parent. You can just say, I'm going to be a person at this time.
Yeah.
And then that gives me the freedom, you know, at times when I don't really feel like parenting in that particular way, just to be a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree with that. What's your yellow?
My red. Yeah. So, this is to heal in you. Which you gave me this beautiful line. I hope one day, you know, you said, I hope one day I can heal in you the part of you that gets hurt and looks for all the other ways in which you've been wronged.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as soon as I enter into a state of vulnerability, I'm almost like searching for other ways, you know, in which I've been harmed. And then you end up feeling like you're having to audition for me or reprove that you're a good guy again.
Yeah.
So I hope I can heal in you the sensitivity that you have towards me disrespecting you or disregarding you, especially in a work context. I know sometimes if we like have a disagreement about taste or something, it kind of immediately goes to like, you don't value my input, or it feels like that, or you'll just be like, well, we'll just do it your way because I don't feel like arguing. Wherein, like, I just hope that you know that I inherently respect you and I inherently acknowledge your expertise, and as a equal and a person who is greater than me in many areas of our work, if I ever do have like a disagreement, it's not like a disregard.
Right.
I also acknowledge that a part of me saying I'd like to heal that in you is I'd like to heal the damage that I did in the past by making you feel that way ever. Mm-hmm. You know, and even like the disrespect thing of like me rolling eyes or getting irritated in my first sort of thing is like sarcasm or attitude. And so you're very sensitive to that. But I also know that comes from a long time of me abusing those things and then you kind of getting very sensitive to them. So that's something I'm just focused on.
Yeah. No, I hear that. And I think that, that's a time. I think it takes time because they're both things that are embedded in not only our character as how we experience the world, but it's also embedded into, you know, our relationship. So I think those things will take time. The one thing that I want to hard stop, and it might be piggybacking off of what you just said, is there's certain times where, and it's because of our fields in our business are different. My field is the actual like filming of things. Your field is the actual content and coming up with what this is gonna, you know, structurally be like. I think sometimes we prioritize two different things, and I want to work on being able to put the other person in the best position to do their job well. You know, I might not put you in the best position to do your job well because you don't feel comfortable or it's hot or it's thing, but I'm like, no, this is the best shot. And then sometimes you'll prioritize, you know, what the content is, and you'll, you know, put me in a bad position where it's hard for me to make the shot look good. So I just would like to figure out a way that we don't ever put each other in positions to not do what we do well.
Yeah. I think the mistake that we often make, I feel like I make, is being like, oh, I'll do my thing, you completely do the other thing, without acknowledging that, like, well, my thing is kind of contingent on being successful based on the way that you do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe vice versa, too, where it's like, well, I actually would love to be a part of story and crafting because that also impacts the way that I'm going to want this to look in the end. So rather than us being like, this is Jared's domain and then this is Shan's domain, like having a moment where we're both able to equally sort of provide input on the other. Because
yeah.
I do find sometimes that like I'll do the creative and I'll do everything and then I'll give it to you and you'll come up with a shot list and I'm like, ah, but like that's kind of missing like what this paired with that, and this is what I saw it being is like, I don't really necessarily care how it looks, but I need this sort of communicated. I don't feel like these shots communicate that. So, like, and like I said, kind of vice versa for you, because I know when you're left to your own devices, there's a noticeable gap between the work that you produce for yourself and the work that you produce for me.
Yeah.
And that's because you get to steer the ship from one port to the next, right?
Yeah.
It's much easier for you to jump in on my expertise than for me to jump in on yours.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I know what it looks like when you are part of the story process. So I do want to lean on you more in that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just comes down to us putting ourselves in the position of being able to do it well. I acknowledge that the gap is because they're two different textures, right? Like mines are sometimes more gritty, more moody, whereas yours is more bright and more clear. And so what I do really well, I don't even get to really like use on you, you know what I mean? So I think that's where the divide is. So it's just really finding that middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For yellow, I have the family time, alone time thing, which is like, love that we spend tons of time as a family. Sometimes I could trade all four of us hanging out to one person taking both kids and leaving the other with time by themselves.
Yeah, I agree. And ironically, a lot of times it's easier that way. Something that's in the yellow for me is our friendships that are family friendships. So their kids are friends with our kids. I'm friends with the husband. You're friends with the wife. I think we have great relationships. I would love to have either more or build stronger ones. That's when the yellow, like, it's going well, it's not going bad, but I think that area is on the weaker side for us.
Who's the one who brings most of the families in?
I guess you.
So maybe if you want to strengthen that, then you make friends with some dads and introduce me to the moms, right?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, good. Do you have any questions for me now that we're on hour 3?
I know. Yes, I do. How can I ritualistically do things that can make you feel more held by me in our relationship? And I only ask that because if I do something ritualistically, I can then understand what this means to you. It's kind of like going to church and like every day you pray over your food and then one day it like clicks, like, oh, I'm just giving thanks because not everybody gets to eat.
Yeah. I know if I'm done up, without a doubt, I'm gonna come out and Yancey's gonna give a reaction.
Yeah.
Whether or not she even feels it or not, like, but that's just a ritual that we've created to say, like, oh, like, there's a special moment happening here. Like, there's something more.
Yeah.
Like, so I just think ritually, if ever there's like something is a little different.
Yeah.
Like, give a moment, because sometimes I'm intentionally doing things to catch your eye or to get your attention. And I value about you that you treat me the same regardless. Like, I don't ever feel like, oh, I'm not done up, so Jared doesn't think I'm worthy of being looked at or like adored. Like, I love how secure I get to feel in all aspects of me. I'm actually very excited. You know, I'm wearing all your clothes now.
Yeah.
And I've started to wear more of your clothes. And, like, I'm talking to you about dressing more masculinely. And, like, that feels like such a great permission to me because I love that side of myself. But I think kind of a mix of being the sex educator girl who, like, had to fulfill a certain... To drill home the branding, fulfill a certain message, and then also being a straight woman. I'm like, oh, I can't really do that. But now I feel like, oh, like... Jared's gonna love me regardless, and I think that he thinks this side of me is cool. So, like, I love that I get freedom to be around you, but I just think if you notice that there's like a B+, just be like, okay. All right, so my question's actually, interestingly for that, is do you ever feel verbal affirmation overload from me?
No, I do feel it when it doesn't, when it feels more like you, and I know why you do it. You probably do it because you're probably like, all right, this is like the 50th thing I said to him about, you know, what I like about him. And you do it in a joke. And that's when it feels like not good. Or overload. It feels like now you're just like trying to troll me. So that's the only time where I'm like, this is But I know why you do it. I think you do it because you're probably like, oh, I've already said too much. So now if I do it in a joke, it's still me expressing it. Where that's the only time where I'm like,
Do you like it, or does it sometimes feel, because the thing with verbal affirmations is that it has to be pointed at a place that somebody wants it, right? Because if I provide lots of verbal affirmation for like how I feel you look or my sexual attraction to you, but you'd rather verbal affirmation on your work or your outfit, like, I guess because I do hyper-focus on my attraction to you. I don't know if that ever bothers you.
No, you do. You give when you like something, something that I've created, you like it, you'll make sure I know. And all those things are great. I think it just comes down to just only when it's like you do it as a joke.
Next quarter, I'm going to speed round this. I want the kids to find their thing. That's my goal. I want for you to get into the flow of enjoy, mm-hmm. and genuinely that. I think last year I used to wish, I have my 11-11 ritual, which is my one woo-woo thing. If I see it's 11-11, I make the same wish every day. And I used to wish every day for your bloom and your career and your success. Mm-hmm. But I would wish that and then fill up your hours with things I needed you to do.
Yeah.
So now I feel like I'm in a place where I'm not necessarily wishing anymore. I'm just actually providing you. Sometimes I feel like the gift and the curse in your life, right? Like that it's the gift of what we built together. And I couldn't have built it without you. You couldn't have built it without me. And the financial freedom, the opportunities, the family. But the curse is you never really got the time to like actually...
Yeah.
See if you could do it for yourself.
Yeah.
And I had that time, you know, like I met you at 30. You met me when you were 24. So now I feel like not only do I want that for you, but I actually can make that space.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'd like to finish my book proposal.
Yeah.
I would love for us to have a romantic date night. And by romance, I mean, like, when we lived in Hollywood together, I used to tell you sometimes, like, I feel like I would live in a rom-com. Because we would just go to a record shop and have this, like, really romantic experience together. Or we would go to a club together and be, like, making out in the corner and dancing at each other. And we'd come home and, like, you'd play a song for me and we would slow dance, like, for no reason. And I just, like, miss that. And I know now when we have date nights, we're like, okay, we either have to go to an event.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's a specific thing. Or we're going to dinner because we haven't gone to dinner in a long time. Or we're... But instead of just being like, oh, I don't know. I don't really know what that means. But, I do miss that. And then lastly, I think continuing our intention of building out a genuine community, which we have made remarkable strides in. I think we had gotten to a great place when you were podcasting. When you were doing Enjoy, that just kind of naturally created this like hub where we always had people around. That went away, and then now we're kind of building it back in a different way, and I want to keep focusing on that.
Yeah, I second a lot of those. So in the quarter ahead, I would love to find a consistent schedule in our work life, but we've already talked to that, so I'm not going to expand on that anymore. I would love to see us build more family friends. Again, it's on me. Got to do that. So, because you bring them all around. I would love to bring more family experiences to our life with our family, going out, doing things, traveling and doing stuff with our kids that are specifically for them. And I would love to consistently connect in the world, just us two, outside of our house. I want us to just kind of talking about what you said, having those romantic moments, but I would like to have those outside of the house.
Yeah, I'd like that too. I have one more section, but I feel like it's going to be redundant at this point.
Yep.
It's going to be like we said earlier. So, meeting adjourned. See, I got the satisfying moment of closing my book.
I can just
what
click
do you
it off.
Get?
Click it off.
Not the same.
Of course, it's the same.
Ugh. I love this conversation with Jared. I could literally have this every single day, but I'll settle for once a quarter, maybe twice a year, depending on how our schedules go, because we are busy people managing multiple
projects and roles and routines. And one of those projects that Jared is currently focused on is called Music Mondays. And I would love to share with you a snippet of that because it is just so inspiring and incredible and sexy to me. So hopefully you get something from it too.
You know, 2 years ago, I quit. And here's why. You know, you didn't see it because I didn't announce it. I didn't post. I didn't vent. I didn't even talk to my people about it. I just disappeared. Why? I was on the spot. Not because I didn't have anything to say, I just didn't want to participate anymore. You know, I used to create for my gut. And then I started creating for the algorithm. Chasing what would perform instead of what would heal. And that switch, that shit killed the joy. And it wasn't that I wasn't growing.
All right, so with my talk with Jared, there's a section which we removed from public consumption and have placed in the community. That might seem like some kind of marketing ploy, and maybe it is to some degree, but all in all, it really is based off the fact that right now, because I am in such a tender space with being a mom and learning my way and my footing into that role and having limited time capacity, I have found that being vulnerable online the way that I used to no longer works because I don't necessarily have the time to process the various different opinions and thoughts and projections that get placed on me. So I have become a little bit more guarded, and I have to say that I'm so grateful that the community provides an opportunity where I can be as open as I want and an opportunity for others to be genuinely open. And as we all have remarked, it's been working extremely well. Not perfectly, definitely room for improvement, but there is one thing the community has going for it, which has been a dream come true for me.
One thing that made me very, not suspicious, I was so surprised to see, was that I don't see any negative comments. It seems like it has not found its place in here, which I'm not calling it in or anything like that, but that I think that's also what gives it its charm.
That's amazing for me. It's a huge win for me because I have been talking about sex and relationships for 10 years. And if you would have asked me at the top of this year to list 10 people who follow me, I could not do that for you. Because there's only so much I can really retain just by seeing your comment. In order to know somebody, you have to have these like intimate moments. And so I'm always just so excited to connect with all of you. So today is kind of serve as a relational check-in. So this episode in particular that we're going to put out is just encouraging the idea of these check-ins that you have in your most treasured connections. And the purpose of these check-ins isn't to repair after conflict or necessarily to celebrate a huge win, but it's supposed to be sort of just like a very neutral time in which you decide to talk about what you like, what you want less of, some of the aspirations you have for the relationship, some of the treasured moments. So flat question for everybody. Have you ever gotten into the ritual of doing check-ins in any of your relationships?
Definitely the like financial one. Check-in for just like, what did you like this week or this month and what didn't you? Like we haven't really done that, but we do dog walks, you know, at least a few times a week, and it just ends up happening.
I'm kind of like you, Steph, but we did it where it was not organized, so that shit went all over the place.
For me, I recently had to do a check-in with like a platonic close friend. I just made myself available for what they needed because they had given so much that it felt good for me to meet them where they're at. And unfortunately for me, not them, for me, and I'm happy to oblige, it was through text message. And I just have to trust the integrity of our friendship and trust that, like, if I honor their boundaries, we're going to come back stronger than ever. And so that's what I hope.
I think the person initiating the check-in kind of has some of the leverage. Usually that's like it's like indicative of a personality type that, you know, like, this favors my conversation style, this favors my sharing style versus the others. And it sometimes ends up alienating certain people or maybe even growing more of a divide.
I think that is such a good point, Dominic. Like, I had a high school boyfriend and we would have to have the, like, how are things going? Where is this going? You know, conversations. And I loved them. Like, I could talk about, I could do these all day long. Like, I got to do one of these with Jared for this episode. And I'm like, I have to make this episode weekly. Like, I love these conversations, but I love talking about relationships. So I love that reflection, Dominic, that it does favor the person who initiates them. And I think one of the ways in which we can mitigate that favoring is by providing the outline up front. And I think that's a real benefit to structure. And I'll say, in the conversation I had with Jared, I provided an outline for him up front. So he, like, one could think about things in advance and it wasn't like one person's TED talk, because the other person is like, I'm just thinking about these things for the first time. So that's a big note for everybody doing these check-ins. Like, as much as a structure might feel a little type A personality, or it might feel better just to do it more organically, it sets the other person up for success. It allows them to have an opportunity to add things that they would want addressed in the check-in, and also gives them the benefit of thinking about it. So we're going to be talking about, first and foremost, safety and consent within the community, just reflections, because that is a foundational principle of what we're sharing. As much as I feel like I know Steph now, the truth of the matter is we are strangers on the internet all across the world sharing very intimate parts of our lives. Safety and consent is a paramount concern, so I want to check in with how you guys are feeling on that. Then we're going to do presence versus performance. The goal here is to be able to show up as yourself, to share your inner thoughts. We've talked about the levels of communication before, ranging from routine to opinions to facts to feelings to your inner world. The goal of this community is to be able to share your inner world. But if there is a sort of pressure to perform or pressure to say the smartest thing or the most woke thing, it doesn't actually end up being what it's supposed to be of a space of authenticity and practicing that. So I really want to make sure we're checking with you guys how that feels for you. So we're going to go to mission fit, which essentially means, are we servicing the goal of making us all better lovers? Are there specific ways that you feel that goal has been met, in ways that it hasn't met the mark for you, or in ways that you dream that this community can serve you better? And then lastly, we'll do celebrate and seed. And so talking about what we liked and seed what we want going forward.
Having like those admins, I just got in here 2 days ago, so I was gonna not even chime in, but I just thought that was so valuable, because I've been on like communities like similar to this, not as involved, but similar, and having those admins to, you know, nib misinformation in the bud as soon as possible, or even course correct, is so like huge in the community.
I feel safe. Everyone in the community comes in with a very open mind, and everyone is very courteous of one another. Even if they're checking each other, it's in a very like open-minded and, you know, interest type of like poking. So I just feel like right now all the people that are posting or commenting make it feel more safe. When I first even talked about that, I cheated, and like there's no reason why, and people were able to still check me, but in the most non-judgmental, most genuinely nice way, that it felt like I'm with a friend that is, of course, gonna check me, but also give me love and being like, you're not a bad person.
I will say one of the things about Circle, which I love, is the search functionality.
Like, you can search a word, and that's why I think transcribing has to be something that we get a little stronger at, too. Like, transcribing all of the community discussions or even, like, the book clubs, Steph talked about recording those. Because if somebody brings up feederism in the chat or in the comment section or somewhere, you can search that and it will show up. Like, it will show you all the posts that that word's ever been mentioned. So the goal, of course, of Lovers, too, is to get to a space where you feel like you aren't the first person to say something. And so the more that we can provide opportunities for people to express their inner thoughts with consent and safety as our undercurrent foundation, and that becomes a search function. Not necessarily that people have to view it immediately after, but Ginger joins 2 days ago and she's like, has anyone talked about Shibari yet? You search the word at the top and you see that nobody has. That makes you feel like, oh, well, a big part of what makes lights me up intimately is never talked about here. So I think it is very important for us to make sure that people know how to find things or how to search for things, and make sure that all of our videos are transcribed so that things are very searchable.
That's cool. Now, to answer your actual question about whether the mission has been working, I want to say that for me personally, it has. An example was that my lack of activity for the last few months, all right, just, I guess, a personal share, a quick share. My mom passed away 3 months ago, which is why I have not been active. I find it very funny that my last activity was during the taping of Death and Acceptance. Yeah? Yeah, I find that kind of funny. Lovers literally prepped me for my mom to pass. And then something that got shared. Steph and I have become pretty close, and she actually took one of the scripts from off of, was it a script? It's not necessarily a script, but a graphic.
It was the resource, resource.
She used the community resource and actually shared it with me for how people can show up for those who are grieving. So I do feel like we are actively meeting the goal or the mission of the Lovers community. And that was one really good, I guess, way that I could share that it showed up and happened for me. Life is funny that way.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.